It dropped right off, everybody. What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Greg and Mike Show. This is a sports show for men with me. Of course, Greg, DJ Squid, Dawes, my man Mike Vaughn. What's up, Money Mike?
Oh, man, you know how it is. It's good to be awoke and it's good to be breathing. Today is going to be a special show. I got some guys calling in that play ball. So I'm just really expecting a great show today. What about yourself, brother?
Hey, you know, it's always good to be 5 feet, 9 inches above ground and not 36 inches below. So at least it lets you know you still got another chance to get whatever didn't go right. And what we're going to do today is we're going to touch on a couple of topics. I know one topic, which is pretty big in the world of sports, is, and I don't think it's going away anytime soon, as other athletes have found themselves in compromising, I guess you could call it a position, but it's not really that much compromising. Frankly, I'm not sure if I agree in totality with the policy, but the policy is what the policy is going to be as it relates to this domestic violence. The Major League Baseball season is wrapping up, which, you know, everybody's not necessarily a baseball fan. You know, we prognosticate to almost anything. So that those are winding down. And as the pennant races get tighter and tighter and better, the creme de la creme rises to the top, and you see the best of the best coming out. My Rays are fighting hard against my Rays. The Rays, the local team, is fighting hard, but you know, we have the year on, the year down, but I think the Rays are the preeminent overachiever in Major League Baseball when you consider that. For some strange reason, I know I'm sounding like a homer and really don't care, but what's all interesting right to me is that in this area, which is should be a mecca for baseball, the Rays don't draw that well. And you know, I'm hoping that they can actually reach 500. As everybody should know, we're 7 games below 500. I'm hoping that they're going to get there as the season winds down. But I would think that the Rays would draw better. But hey, that's just me. And that's me being a local homer. Mike's favorite team, the Bucks, will be back. Well, I guess they'll start at kickoff time this week for I don't know how many more minutes of football to go on before they decide to play. That was an abysmal performance. But one thing, well, the under always hits with the Bucks. The one thing that everybody should be very aware of about the NFL is that everybody playing on Sunday is a professional athlete. Because no Cam Newton. No Cam Newton. Now, by the way, there's no Cam Newton, but one thing that I want people to hear about is the Bucks also had no game film on, who's the guy that played quarterback over there in doggone Arizona? Where was it beat them? Had no game film on them. Please. It just like with Nick Foles, and I told people, one thing about the NFL, when they get game film on you, it's a little bit different. And now, granted, Philadelphia did come out and put a beat down on Jacksonville in the second half, but it took a little while for Philadelphia's offense to get started. And in the NFL, they definitely catch it with you pretty quickly. So, with that being said, we'll talk about football like we always do, fantasy football, college football. College football, and then we'll get into some entertainment purposes only stuff known as wagering, some sports wagering picks for the weekend. I think we have a couple pretty nice ones for you. We'll explain and break it down. The call-in number for the show is 347-838-8420, 347-838-8420. We should be returning back to the air for what we know, what we do as Greg, or what I do as the Greg Dawes Show this week. So be checking out the Facebook page and definitely stop by and join us. I want to make sure I let everybody know that my man Demetrius Sr. has a birthday today. I didn't know that until I just looked up on the screen.
What up, D?
Happy birthday, D. And we have the great Jonah Bay in town this weekend.
Yes, sir.
In the seminar. And if anybody wants to stop by that seminar, make sure you go to www.moneyforhomes.com, get the information, and get some very good information, needful information, and things that will help you expand your mind economically, spiritually, as well as historically. So That being said, Mike, tell everybody what you tell everybody about yourself a little bit, Mike, while we get ready to get this thing crunk up.
Oh man, come on, man. What you want me to start with? The good part or the best part? Well, first of all, born in Mississippi, everybody know that. Played ball at the University of Alabama, football in Klein. Played with some of the greatest, even in high school, college. Even got a chance to play in the pros with the Green Bay Packers. Now we are expanding the show. We're getting other things involved business-wise, and I just want to say that I'm happy and blessed, man. I got a great family. Yeah, matter of fact, peace out to my wife, Latoya. I love you. And, you know, we just trying to do something positive and stay positive and giving something to the people. That's all. And just so happened today, we talking about sports.
Now, do you have anything that you – anybody you want to shout out, anything, any of our friends or what have you that have anything going on this weekend that people may want to tune into?
Well, actually, I want to give a shout out to my high school homeboy. His name is Country Destry, right? All of you know him. He's a great running back at the University of, I mean, at Jackson State University. I'm sorry, and they got a good game coming up this weekend. So I want to wish him a shout out as well. Those of you that know I'm connected to Alabama, I hope Alabama win. We know they got a Rudy Poop team, but that's okay. But I'm waiting on a call, actually, Greg, from my friend from his name is Aaron Dunn. He's down in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. So I'm waiting on the call from him to come in on the show and maybe give his points on what he thinks about Alabama and what they're going to do this year. So, you know, those are my shout-outs. And I hope everybody listening, shout-out to Marcus Taylor, John Smith, Tater, all my boys back at the crib. I love you. And once again, I love my kids and my wife.
And by the way...
You're fading on me, G. Thank you, Mike. Hold on, everyone. We're experiencing a little difficulty here in the studio, so we will be back in a few seconds. So please hold on.
Okay, here we go. Yeah, did y'all hear what I was saying?
No, brother, we had a little disconnection. It sounded like he was gone, so I had to go ahead and play a little music till you got back on the call.
Oh, my fault, people. I thought I was reading. I had no idea that the mic had went away, so let me start again. And I apologize, man. You should have sent me a message or something, did you?
I try to text you, dude. You know you got so many phones, you probably weren't even paying attention to the phone I text you on. But it's all good.
Yeah, whatever. Well, let's go ahead and start back from the top. Okay, your mic is not on. There we go. Listen, people. According to this report, Rice told Goodell in June he hit his fiance. Now, Ray Rice told Commissioner in a meeting what happened in an elevator, ESPN says. Ray Rice told NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell in June that he punched his then-fiance in a casino elevator, ESPN's Outside the Line reported Thursday, an assertion that contradicts Goodell's statement this week that when we met with Ray Rice and his representatives, it was ambiguous about what actually happened. Now, Goodell
wow.
said in an interview with Now, Goodell said in an interview with CBS News on Tuesday that the latest video released by celebrity news website TMZ of what happened between Rice and his now wife, Janae, in an elevator was inconsistent with what the former Ravens running back had told him at a disciplinary hearing June 16th. But Outside the Lines reported that during the meeting in the commissioner's office, Rice told Goodell he had hit Janae in the face and knocked her unconscious. NFL spokesman Greg Aiello declined to comment on the report. Rice's lawyer, Michael J. Diamondson, also declined to comment. After that meeting, Goodell suspended Rice for 2 games. And, of course, after a national uproar over what was considered the penalty's leniency, Goodell suspended him indefinitely.
Wow. Wow. So they've been new on, brother.
Apparently so. They had an idea of what was really going on. Oh, boy. Now, I guess the underlining part of the story is, what do you think happens from there?
Wow.
Do you actually think Roger Goodell is going to be fired?
I hope so.
Ah.
I mean, he dropped the ball, brother. He dropped the ball. He knew it. And then the thing about it is he probably wasn't expecting on the actual tape to be released by TMZ. He probably seen the tape. No doubt he's seen the tape. But he didn't expect that TMZ would get hold of the tape. And once they got a hold of the tape, now it seemed like a fraud was happening. I mean, come on, they was just going to get this guy just a couple of games. When I saw the actual tape, brother, the way the brother hit the young lady, you know what I mean? Really? He could have killed her, brother. He could have killed her. Her head
well,
hit the rail of the elevator, bro.
Is there very much of a chance that anything can happen to anybody in the NFL and they really not know?
Of course. Of course.
This is going to be a very interesting situation. Anybody that wants to comment, 347-838-8420, make sure you press the number 1, put your hand in the air, so I'll know that you want to speak. I'm a little baffled by the article myself, because I'm always under the impression there's not very much that the NFL doesn't know. And I'm always under the impression there's not very much that there was nothing divulged to the guy either. So I'm a little bit interested to see what, in fact, the NFL is going to do about this situation the owners, and whether they just kind of brush it up under the rug and find something else to kind of, you know, take the people's attention off of what's really going on. I'm just really, really kind of surprised that Roger Goodell would just come up there and tell that kind of lie, knowing that there's a possibility that something was sitting out there. And I'm sure they had to go to the hotel and check the elevator, and they should have known at some point that there was a camera in there and that the camera probably recorded something.
Duh.
That's the part that kind of has me a little bit baffled. And if that were the case, why would they have taken a chance on risking the kind of negative press or bad exposure that definitely is coming from this situation is going to probably come for years and years to come. And I don't see this thing getting good or going well anytime soon. So with that being said, I guess I could open it up the phone for anybody who wants to call in. We have people in the phone queue. I know these things are I'll wait for your buddy to call. What's his area code, by the way, Mike?
You don't see a 205 area code on there?
He was tell him to call back. He was here and he dropped it off. He might have dropped off when the line went dead. So I'll wait for him. Go ahead and text him. Come on back in. And in the meanwhile, we'll talk about some of the other things that are going on in sports, notwithstanding the horrible performance by the Pittsburgh Steelers last night. A very sloppy game, in fact. And I'm interested to see how Mike Tomlin is going to turn that thing around over there in Pittsburgh. I have the utmost confidence that he will. I think one of the teams get old, and the Steelers are getting a little older. But 9 penalties, some drives dropping, stopping penalties, will definitely lead to losses. And when you play on that level, and on any level, one or two bad plays and one or two bad breaks often can determine who wins in or loses a football game. So the Steelers last night fell to the Ravens in week 2 of the NFL season. We're going to get into a couple of – what the hell are you so happy about? We're going to get into a couple of things. We're going to get into a couple of other things later. Well, a division game, the Ravens dropped a close one the week before to Cincinnati. I knew they were going to be motivated. Plus, they're back home. Those things kind of tend to happen. But I'm not used to seeing the Pittsburgh Steelers play that badly on a national stage. But I guess the other team has a lot to do with them playing badly as well. So it is what it is.
Yes,
now
sir.
We got your buddy Floyd Money Mayweather fighting tomorrow also, don't we?
Yeah, man. I think he's going to lose this time, brother. What you think?
Never.
What?
I think, and I'm going to tell you something. I was not really a big Floyd Mayweather fan, so I want to make sure I put that out there. But the one thing I had to give him credit for doing is he does come prepared to fight. He does not come out of shape. I think he's genuinely focused. Granted, he's getting older, so he's not as sharp as as he would have been 8, 9, or 10 years ago. But he's sharp enough, and I don't know if it says. I don't think because he's so good, it should say very little, or that he's successful means that it's by luck or because the other people are not that good. He just does what he has to do to win fights, and he's been successful in winning the fights.
Yeah, he gets the job done now, brother. I mean, it's the reason why he had the loss. Oh, yeah.
And he's very well off. I'm not even sure if I believe this whole thing about him not being able to read. He may just not be fluid with it. So,
wow.
With that being said, I expect him to win tomorrow night and win handily. There'll be a time where he'll take a fight off.
I mean, what round you think he's going to drop old boy in?
None. He'll go to distance. That's one thing I don't see him doing is knocking out anybody. But I do see him winning. He gets a little bit older. He's never been a heavy-handed man, so I just think he's going to win the fight handily.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, everybody kind of wants to see him lose, I think. But I think everybody kind of likes to root for an underdog. There's really nobody else out there that everybody should feel inclined to want to see win. And by the way, I forgot to say something also at the top of the sports. Our man with NFL teams still not interested in him, in hiring him. Tim Tebow is expanding his broadcast portfolio. The former Gator and 2007 Heisman Trophy winner joins ABC's Good Morning America as a contributor Monday. He'll be part of the show's new Motivate Me Monday segment that highlights people and their stories of triumph. Despite the fact that people are going to say it they want to, I always, and this kind of is almost sounds, it's kind of difficult to say, but because he went to Florida. I've never had an issue with Tim Tebow.
I think,
you know, his quarterback skills may leave something to be desired, but one thing Tim Tebow is a competitor. And I don't think that he should be faulted because I don't know if it's because of his religious beliefs or what have you, but I think it's kind of unfair to Tim Tebow for people to just be so willing I don't want to say this badly and it sounds terrible, but for people to dismiss a person who's shown that they have the ability to win because they're not necessarily flashy or sexy with what they do, I think is unfair. And I do believe within the deepness of my soul and heart, you know, I didn't see him in practice every day, that Tim Tebow is as deserving of an NFL quarterback job as Mark Sanchez, Blaine Gabbert, or so many other people. He is a proven winner. Yeah, DeMarcus Russell, yeah. At least Tim Tebow will come and give you what he has. So, with that being said, we're still waiting for your buddy to call back in and everybody else who's listening. If you have a thought or comment about the show, please feel free to hit the number one and say something. I know some of the local people are probably wanting me to say something about these Tampa Bay Buccaneers and that abysmal performance last week here at home against the Carolina Panthers. The Panthers defense did about what we kind of thought they'd do, considering. But I was really surprised to see the Bucs offense could look that anemic in week one in front of your home crowd. I thought they'd come out more inspired and given a better performance. That was really terrible. And to this day, they haven't covered Greg Olsen. They still haven't covered Greg Olsen, so I'm a little surprised by that. Now, you know, your Crimson Tide are back on the field tomorrow for Southern Mississippi, right, Mike?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And you know we're going to hand them a defeat handily. We're going to really handle those boys. Go ahead.
Who was the best team that you played against when you were at Alabama, other than the Gators, of course?
I'd say it had to have been, I mean, but you have to understand, brother, every week in the SEC, you have to play your A game. It's always been that way. But if I just had to pinpoint a real team that really just gave us a fight every year, oh, man, it had to be Auburn.
So that game actually is everything that's hyped. Everything is hyped up to be for those of us who've never played in that game. That game actually is everything that is hyped up to be.
Of course it is, brother. I mean, that's an all week thing. I mean, and you know, it's an all week thing. It's an all year thing. We're battling for the state, and not only do we end up battling for the state, sometimes we end up battling to play, you know, the SEC championship game as well. And you know, over the previous years, the SEC championship game winner has really went on to win the national title. You know, but this year we have the playoff and it's going to be a different system. But, you know what I mean, every week in the SEC, you have to come to play. You have to train hard. And you know what I mean, just by saying Auburn because of the magnitude of that game, but come on, you got to play Mississippi State. You got to play Ole Miss. You got to play LSU. You got to play Tennessee. You got to play Vandy. You got to play Georgia. You got to play Florida. So every week, South Carolina, I failed to mention them. Every week, you have to put on your A game. But, you know, back in my day, back at the Bama Stomping Grounds, it was Auburn.
Well, I think I have your friend on the line. Area code 205, what's your name? Where are you calling from? Welcome to the Greg and Mike show. And you're on the sports show for me and live. What's going on?
Yeah, what's up, man?
What's up, AD? Is in the house. My boy AD is on the line. What's happening, baby?
Live on the line. What's going on with y'all guys?
Oh, man, we talking sports, brother.
Talking sports. We know we've already touched on the Ray Rice thing, and I don't know if you want to comment on this thing with that apparently the commissioner of the NFL, Mr. Goodell, knew exactly what was going on.
Yeah. I mean, I'll comment on it, but, I mean, I think the commissioner came down pretty hard on him this time. I mean, everybody, I really didn't get all the full details of what went on for us, him in the elevator with the girl or whatever, his wife. But the guy banned for life, I think that's uncalled for. I think everybody deserves a, like, if it really happened, suspension at the least. But banned for life means you can't play again. So you're taking something from a guy that worked hard for to get that far and to get good at what he do and love what he do, and you're taking it away from him. It's not only about that. You're taking away money out of his kid's mouth as a whole.
Yeah. Okay. So, well, you know, that actually kind of about where I am. Well, we obviously know that he hit her. We don't know what led up to it, and we're going to always talk about that. You know, there's never a point where men should hit the women. And you know, that's a little bit up there with me. But the one thing is to take somebody's livelihood forever.
Right.
There is almost nowhere else in society where you cannot make a living in your chosen profession ever again for any infraction or violation. And to do it this time, especially when the motivation is more because of public scrutiny than anything else, I just think is unfair. I'm pretty sure it's going to be a difficult life living as Ray Rice with the public viewing you as they do, and they're probably never, ever going to forgive you for that. That in and of itself would make continuing to play in the NFL a difficult chore or task anyway.
Yeah.
So.
Right.
Yeah. So let me now who do I have on the phone, and tell me a little bit about yourself if you can. If you can't, just say I can't really say.
Yeah. I'm there and done. I'm from Mississippi, and me and Mike grew up, you know, homeboys back in Clarksdale. But actually,
yes,
I'm from a small little town. Population not that big, Frost Point, Mississippi, actually. But the closest superstar in the area I've been around was him, for his getting known, big shot at the college ball, pro ball. And
I appreciate that, brother.
I've been down here networking there all my whole life in Tuscaloosa. Came down, played ball at a little small college, Stillman College. Played there 4 years, and upon that, I came back to finish up my degree in physical education. So I've been around just trying to find the right loophole to fit in, like we all do.
No doubt. So you got the opportunity to experience. Oh, you want to ask him a question? Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, I was going to ask him a question. I was going to ask him, what does he think about the University of Alabama's quarterback situation? And also, I had a couple of calls I made over the week, and I took some calls last week. What's up with Stillman College, man? What's up with y'all offense, man? Can you elaborate on both of those points for me, brother?
Yeah, man. They playing high powered teams right now, and you know, I feel like, you know, that when they get in conference play, it should get a little better. They playing teams, all those are money games, so they can't really do much if a school bigger and better. They better than, well, I put it like this, they more, you know, got more experience than Stillman for as of being bigger size-wise.
Okay. What about the Alabama quarterback situation, AD?
Man, it's a no-brainer. They should just go with Sims, but I guess everybody's just, the coaching staff got together as a whole, and they just trying to get Coker ready for next year and get him some playing time, and you just want to do a two-quarterback set. But if I was the coach, well, you know, I'd probably just go with one. Sims, he's a senior, just give him a chance and just ride it on out.
Yeah, I feel you, brother. I feel you, brother.
I guess my question to that is, if he feels comfortable answering, of course, is, do you think there's politics that is associated with this move, or do you just think that they believe that Coker is every bit as good as Sims?
I mean, he came in, the guy, Coker, can play ball. I mean, he came out of high-powered high school, so as Sims did, but you know, everybody come in ranked and hyped up, so everybody want to get a chance to see what the guy got. I mean, I guess, you know, Coker, he came in from Florida State, and everybody was excited about what he was going to bring to the table for his Sims, been there waiting his turn, so everybody want to see what he has to offer. So in the couple of games he played, he been showing it more than Coker has. but at least Coker just only played one game. I think they both great guys, man. I just hope we win and just they figure out a way to just play both of them if it comes down to it. But most people want to see one quarterback, but Saban does a great job of getting a nice game plan together every week, him and his coaching staff. And that's a tremendous university, so they known for winning, and, you know, everything will be good with him over there coaching.
I guess I was a school of thought, if you have two quarterbacks, you don't have one. What's kind of interesting about Coke, and I can't believe I'm even talking about Alabama football. But
why not, bro?
You know, he didn't, because it makes my head hurt. But he didn't start at Florida State. I think, oddly enough, that's being lost and all that, and he actually lost his job to a freshman, right?
Right.
So where is it written that he would be better than Sims, especially if you put the time, effort, and energy into Sims the way that you put it into the hope of Coker? But, you know, who am I? Now, you know, both of you guys play college football. And I know one of the bigger things that I've always wanted to discuss relative to college football was this issue of the grind of the players. Now, we're still waiting to see what the NCAA is, or what's ultimately going to come of the Ed O'Bannon issue. But if I could, AG, could I get your comments or your thoughts on the idea of paying college football players, not just for their likenesses in games, but while they're playing some sort of stipend so that they can at least have some of the niceties of college life? What's your opinion on that?
Man, I think they should play the players because you got the university making a numerous amount of millions of dollars, probably a game, and you should give them some for compensation-wise, saying that they appreciate them going out every day, every night to meetings everywhere, sacrificing their bodies and stuff, man, and taking their time out to make the university money. Without the players, they wouldn't be making no money like that, and all the stuff wouldn't be selling like that. So at least give each player, $1,000 a month? That wouldn't hurt. I mean, you got to give them some, man. Show them you appreciate it.
I was even laughing at $1,000 a month. I guess what is like the maximum of all the person is worth their what is
a workman is worthy of his hire. That's the maximum of law.
Right.
Work worthy of his hire. And I absolutely agree. The one thing that AG brought up was the fact that there's so much wear and tear on an athlete's body that I think people kind of take for granted because it's not their body. It's a game,
right.
But it's a car crash every play, and your body is still, you know, a very fragile piece of equipment.
Exactly, right. Brother. Right.
You know, not to mention any other college player could go out there and make $250 a week, which is what $1,000 a month kind of comes down to, and enjoy his money if he wants to go out with his girlfriend or whatever he wants to do. Anybody
right.
who wants to loan him money can loan him money, and there's not any issue to it. That in
right.
and of itself makes it categorically an unfair, and I would presume an unequitable situation or an unequitable situation for the player
right.
versus the university. Exactly. I just don't recall 40,000 people or 60,000 people, or actually in y'all's case, 82,000 people jamming into a building to watch somebody take a damn test. So we can't continue to compare apples to oranges. So and with that being said, I don't know. Should we talk about college football this week coming up, spotlight games? Or should I get into fantasy football? I'll get into fantasy football. Fantasy football after I get into the issue of the NFL football season. And we'll bring your buddy AG back in a second. Any games that you have spotlighted? Don't worry about the picks games. We have the games that are picked.
We already have.
Who are you looking forward to seeing play this weekend? I kind of have an idea. One is going to be Bama. But other than Bama, name another team that you all – or name somebody else, Mike, that you're interested in seeing play. And actually you know – huh?
No, I didn't say one, brother.
Okay, I guess somebody else is on the line.
Yeah, somebody Georgia probably got this on you.
Georgia plays South Carolina. Now, since we only have a little bit of time left, I guess I could tell everybody that you know that South Carolina has covered the spread the last four times in Columbia yes. against Georgia?
Yes, sir, they have.
And they look pretty bad in their other two football games. I'm wondering if the old ball coach is going to be able to have these boys up and prepared to play tomorrow. Because this game, one, they can't afford to lose another game in the SEC.
Exactly.
And I'm wondering how motivated they're going to be. I'm kind of thinking that South Carolina is going to beat them tomorrow.
Ooh. That's kind of tough to say. Did you see the game that Gurley had, the running back for Georgia? Did you see him last week?
Right, but he ran across, and AG, you're back on, but he ran over Clemson, and I'm not really sure if I'm that impressed with that. But because Clemson's a little bit down, he's a great running back. I just think that the ball coach may have South Carolina up for this game. And they are at home.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I was about to say.
Don't you all play better? Didn't you all play better when you all were at home versus playing on the road?
Of course. Of course. There's nothing like seeing your family in the stand. There's nothing like eating at home cooked meal or going to your favorite restaurant before the game. You got people there. You know what I mean? You got access to, you know, more things. You're not on the road. You're not hooked up or bumped up in some hotel somewhere, and then you probably have to, you know, go and have just two or three tickets waiting for your family. And where compared to home, you can have almost everybody there. Either you can tailgate, or it's better, you know, at home. So, of course, I'm hoping that they beat them at home in South Carolina. But you know, Georgia's a real good team, and South Carolina hasn't showed me nothing for real this year, not yet. So I hope the old ball coach got something in store for him. But as far as I see it, I think Georgia's going to take him, brother.
Okay, that's pretty interesting.
Well,
AG, you got any thoughts?
I tell you this. Hello?
Yeah, you're on.
You're on, brother.
I tell you this.
What?
If something don't happen to Gurley walking out that locker room, the ball coach can get up because he's going to run over everybody in sight. And if he keep running that ball like that, he's going to win the Heisman. He's the best running back in college football as of right now.
Wow, that's a pretty bold statement there, brother.
And
yeah,
I'm pretty sure the scouts thinking the same way.
What you think about that, Greg?
Greg thinking the same thing
I'm saying.
No, I'm telling you it's like this. You know, I look at things, and I look at things based upon the number. I know that makes me a little bit different than most people. All I know for a fact is that the last four games, and Georgia's going in there, the line opened at 5, the game's now at 6.5. 6.5 means a touchdown. I look at South Carolina to win the game outright tomorrow night. I think they're going to be motivated.
Right.
One thing is, I would definitely not that it's one of my picks for the week, so don't everybody try to count me for this one. I would feel very comfortable and confident in saying that South Carolina will definitely cover. Georgia will not beat the Gamecocks by a touchdown at home, the way that the Gamecocks allowed which is a much better Texas A&M team than people think. A Texas A&M team come in there and beat them so badly. I think that they're going to, you know, there's a thing called pride, and that's going to make them fight. This is a South Carolina team that many people thought would win at least 11 or 12 games, even challenge for the SEC East Championship. If they lose this game, any and every hope for an SEC Championship and a possible shot at the Final Four is out of the window.
Yes, sir. I look
for them to play play that game pretty hard, and then to see what else will happen. So, I just that's a high number for a team at home, especially in the SEC. And we're not talking about Vanderbilt or one of those teams either, so let's keep that in mind. So I would go with the old ball coach.
Okay. We will see what's gonna happen from that. Because it's going to be a great game. Did you know if it's a night game or a day game, brother? I don't have the schedule up on my computer, huh?
I think it's a night game. I'll look it up, but I believe it's a night game. And something strange goes on at those night games also. It seems to have guys play a different way. And I don't know about I don't know what other rituals you are in South Carolina, so we don't know. But the whole thing of the other rituals going on, I just think that they're going to be there to play. Oh, no, it's a 3:30 kickoff. It's a 3:30 kickoff. That's going to make it very interesting.
Very interesting, brother.
So,
well, I'm telling you now, Georgia's going to run all over South Carolina. They don't have Javon and Clowney no more. They don't have the pass rush defensive tackle guys no more. They really look bad as a whole, as a staff and as a team on the field, because these Spurs don't know which way to go now. He don't have them leaders anymore. You're talking about a guy.
Well, graduation did hit Georgia, South Carolina pretty hard. I'll give you that. I just am of the belief that they're going to come back in, and they're going to come back, and they're going to show pride. Pride will. Well, I'm looking at the line to cover. Pride is going to cover the game. Because, again, 6.5 means 7, right?
Right.
So that means Vegas says they're a touchdown better. That's a heck of a lot of points to give to a team when you are on the road. I just don't see it happening. Not in the SEC.
He just don't have them playmakers anymore. It's just like starting all over again from scratch. He don't have playmakers anymore. He don't have a go-to guys he can call on.
Well, they're definitely down.
Hard.
Sure. Well, they're a little bit down as far as experience and actually just in raw talent. So I guess I could almost see that. I still just am of the belief that they're going to play tough. And nothing else you could probably consider taking them in the first half anyway, because Georgia has been known to start a little bit slow. Mike, you don't play fantasy football. AG, do you play fantasy football?
No, sir. I haven't played it.
No, okay. Well, I guess I'm the only guy on who does that kind of thing. And before we move into the picks, I have no picks for the NFL this weekend. The NFL is a little bit funny in the opening. If I had one pick, I would probably tell everybody that take the Buccaneers game to go under the 37, which I know is not a whole hell of a lot of points. If I had a play at all to make, looking at the schedule, I see that Tennessee is actually favored to beat the Cowboys. Kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I see New England beating Minnesota by a heck of a lot more than 3 points. So I think they're going to be pretty motivated. I know they're going to be motivated after getting beat by Miami and looking bad in the second half and that happening. And, of course, I would definitely love the Colts to beat Philadelphia on Monday night if they give Philadelphia 3. Well, they should be getting 3 almost being at home anyway. So they're almost calling that an even game. I'm not very impressed with Philadelphia last week and struggling with Jacksonville. There could be a number of reasons why. I think the Colts have a better defense. And, in fact, had the Colts, they're a couple plays away from, which is all the NFL is anyway, they're a couple plays away from that Denver game turning a different direction in the second half as well. So, for plays, I don't have anything fantasy football this week. I think I will start Andrew Luck, in fact, against that Philadelphia defense and look for Andrew Luck to do some things for me. Jay Cutler got her. One thing about Jay Cutler is my backup. Jay Cutler will throw some interceptions for you, won't he?
Yes, sir, he will. And don't mind it.
They always be at the most inconvenient time for me. He will throw that pick. Okay, so now We got a couple minutes left. If anybody wants to call in and talk about this, I know we got some folks out there who do this. And actually, I want to tell everybody also, we had a heck of a lot more downloads last week than I was actually expecting. I know that the timing is a little shaky with the show because of the fact it's in the middle of the day and most people are working. Maybe I'll work on that. Anybody who has any thoughts, comments, and suggestions as to a good time change for Friday, I'll definitely take it up under consideration. Maybe move it back to where you all can get to us while you're in drive time traffic.
Yes,
sir. Give you some great picks. We'll give you some sports insight. And we always, you know, we always enjoy having a guest come on the show. AG is a guest and a friend of my man, Mike.
Yes, sir.
Team Mark. He hasn't talked a whole lot about his college experience. Now, AG, relative to the college experience now, was it, if you could do it today, would you do it the same place or the same way that you did years ago, or are there some things that you would definitely change about your college football experience?
If I can do it all over again, I wouldn't have been at Stillman. My main school would have been Alabama.
I love you, brother. I love you, brother.
Now, if Mike can do it all over again, I know we can't go back in time, but I really wish he could have picked Tennessee. The reason being is he would have had a great quarterback. See, Mike didn't have a great quarterback. He's the best receiver probably. You're not going to believe this in college football at the time, but he didn't have a great quarterback. You got to look at that. He worked with what he could, you know. But if he had had Peyton Manning, he probably would have.
I was thinking about that, Mike, when
Mike
he said
on
it.
The show.
I would have had Mike on the show if he
had played for Peyton Manning.
Now, see, I give y'all kudos for that. I would have loved to have been at Tennessee, but if I had the chance to do it all over again, I would have made sure that Marcus Taylor, Calvin Hall, Randy Barnes, Woodrow Cole, Joseph Furze, Mike Gottsie, Destry Wright, Taylor, Marcus Taylor, we all would have went to the same university in the state of Mississippi, and we would have played 4 years in high school together. We could have played 4 years in the college together. And who knows, maybe the whole team could have been drafted. That would have been my dream if I could do it over. Yeah, I went to Alabama, and it was a great opportunity for me. But as far as I saw my chance, because, man, a quarterback, in high school, I had one of the greatest quarterbacks in Mississippi history. I had a running back that went on to Jackson State to break what's the guy's name?
Walter
Payton's record. Yeah, he broke Walter Payton's record. So I had a team that was great, you know what I mean, in high school. So if I had a chance to do it all again, I go to school with all those guys I played ball with in high school, and I wouldn't trade it for the world, brother. That's my choice.
That shows the kind of heart. That shows the heart and the character that you have. But there's no way in the blue hell I'd trade anything to go ahead and play with Peyton Manning. Not just because he's Peyton Manning, but because of the opportunity to play with Peyton Manning would have given you. And now, as always, when the show's winding down, it usually gets worse. I got another Alabama homer coming in, my man T. Smitty out of Phoenix. And T. Smitty is actually right on time for this week's pick. T. Smitty, welcome to the sports show for me with Greg and Mike. Any thoughts?
Roll Tide, brother.
What's up, brother? What's up, T. Smitty? Roll Tide.
Thoughts real quick. I actually hit it on the head with that Oakland Jet. Got my money back. But here's the thing. I like the Cowboys at Tennessee this week. People are laughing, but I like that one. But here's another thing, though. Sorry, my smoke alarm had changed the battery. But that's some things that I saw in the NFL. Like my Buccaneers, for example. Talent all over the place, but the quarterback below average. and that's the story of the NFL. If your team doesn't have a quarterback, you're pretty much out. But at the same time, it is hard to even find one to draft because you may get one or two that's worth a flip in a given year.
Exactly.
You like the Cowboys with the 3.5 at Tennessee.
At Tennessee.
Hey,
I'm looking at some of the games, and I told everybody, none of my picks for this week are going to come from the NFL. I gave them an idea that I thought the Bucs game would definitely go under the total. Look for New England to beat the freight off of Minnesota and cover the 3 points. And interestingly enough, don't be surprised if Chicago beats. Well, no, they're at home. That's okay. I forget it. That'd be the only thing. I looked over there. Nothing really caught my attention about it, about this week, other than the Giants game. And I said, nah. I would say if I had to play or give anything, it'd be the Bucs game to go under the 37 points. I would stay away from them. I might win that game because both of those teams' offenses are horrible. But both of those teams have pretty good defense.
Well, I will say, in college, I like Missouri because I'm thinking the bookies, the Vegas, are still haven't hopped on Missouri bandwagon yet. I think they will cover that 9.5 at home.
I'm looking. And who is Missouri? Oh, against UCF.
Yeah.
Wow.
Are they down at quarterback?
Yeah, UCF. Well, you know, Bortles is in Jacksonville in the running back. I don't know what happened to him. Man, UCF and USF have some pretty rugged schedules. Now, USF, I think last week was a better team than Maryland. They gave the game back. But I had four games that I wanted to pick, and as we're kind of winding down, I'm going to tell you who I like, and you all can go with what you want. I love FIU to cover. And definitely, I don't know what your first half number may be, but Pittsburgh, the whole world watched Pittsburgh play a great game against Boston College, and FIU looked horrible. Watch FIU cover this game as Pittsburgh will be down and looking ahead. 26 points is a heck of a lot of points to give a team at home. And the last time I checked, FIU still has players from the great state of Florida. I think it's an almost no-brainer, barring a windstorm or torrential downpour of some sort. Who cares who wins the game but Duke and Kansas to go over 55.5? Both teams have decent offenses, and ain't nobody going to tackle no damn body, okay? Plus, Duke will score points anyway. So look at Duke to go over. Duke and Kansas game to go over the total. I actually left my book out in the car. Louisiana Lafayette goes to Ole Miss. Ole Miss will not be motivated to beat them by 27 points, I don't think. And my surefire lock for the week, and if I'm wrong, again, this is for entertainment purposes only. People, please, boy, we're prohibited by law. Penn State goes into Rutgers and beats them by a lot more than 3.5 points. Penn State, and I'm going to tell you why they're my stone cold lock. Now, listen to me. Penn State just found out, was it 2 days ago, that they are no longer on probation.
Yep.
They no longer have any postseason sanctions. They're undefeated in the big. They're undefeated now. They now have an inspiration to play for, and that is a Big Ten game because Rutgers is now in the Big Ten
and a better quarterback. Exactly.
So they're a better team.
Yep.
And I'm gonna tell you another later on in the season. Not that it should be a surprise. Watch Penn State beat Alabama. I mean, beat Ohio State, I mean, also.
Mm-hmm.
So, mm-hmm. My stone cold lock, if I have one, my surefire lock, take Penn State to beat the dog crap out of Rutgers.
Yes.
I like the Duke and Kansas game to go over the total of 55. FIU, depending on what the first half line is going to be, but definitely to cover those 26 points. This week, absolutely, and they're playing. And the team that I just don't think is just that good. But anyway, Pittsburgh has more of a fundamental ground control type of game. But look at FIU to play well against them, and that's all that I have. So T. Smith, you gave us Missouri UCF games at home. Missouri to beat UCF by 10, which means they had to beat them by two scores, T. Smitty. Not just a touchdown and a field goal. That means they got to be either two touchdowns or three scores.
Yeah, see, I've been riding on this year because that's one of those teams where I think their value's underestimated because they lost a lot of players last year. But they returned a guy who played quarterback most of the season. And the offense, they got a real good high-power offense. The offense been humming along. I like them in that matchup. But I do also like the Ole Miss one you talked about because that's the other one I was looking at. I don't like Ole Miss quarterback, let's just be honest. And they're not going to be motivated because people don't understand Ole Miss is Vanderbilt's rivalry.
Right.
And they caught up for that one, and that's a dope, and that's a letdown game. Louisiana Lafayette's not a bad team, actually.
The quarterback's coming back, but the one thing that caught my attention about Louisiana Lafayette is they had, I think it was 8 or 9 returning ball players from last year. They had 8 offensive players. I'm looking at it now. They had 8 offensive players returning from last year and 8 defensive players returning from last year.
They'll keep it close. They'll keep it close. They won't win, but they'll cover, though.
But let me ask you a question, Mike, because you're from that area. Isn't it possible that a lot of the guys that play at Louisiana Lafayette are either from Louisiana or southern Mississippi?
Exactly. It's that Gulf Coast area. But you got to look at Louisiana Lafayette. Some of their players could be playing at LSU.
And
you
know that's why I like the 26 points.
Exactly. Because some of those players could play at LSU. Just like, you know what I mean, some players at Southern Miss can play at Mississippi State. You know what I mean? So they are great players. It might be something that might have happened along the lines. Maybe somebody didn't qualify on the test. Somebody didn't meet the grade standards or what it may be. But you don't have – because if you look at Louisiana Lafayette, those people throw the ball around and they play defense. So, you know, my pick would be take Louisiana Lafayette.
So you don't think they get beat by 4 touchdowns?
No. But that's just my opinion.
It's just mine for entertainment purposes only. So listen, people, we locked up another week of the Greg Dahl Sports Show. We're gonna, you know, T. Smith. Now you're out there on the West Coast where we normally, where I used to be when I was with the other high frequency network. What do you think would be a nice time that we should probably consider nestling in the Greg Dahl and Mike Sports Show? On Friday now, because I was thinking about Saturday morning because I could come in and say, Gret, what does Gret think as far as plays and picks are concerned? And I might start doing that week in and week out because I do that anyway. But what does Greg think maybe on Saturday mornings or Friday evening relative to shows? So what would you think would be a good show time, T. Smithy, based upon your situation out there on the West Coast where we know Vegas is?
Well, since I'm on terminal leave right now, you know about that. I got time, so it's good. Like, I think this time on, like, afternoon drive, something like that. But I think what you got right now is actually good because how your viewership and listeners like right now. It's probably good right now.
The downloads were tremendous. We have decent people in the call queue. I think we're going to do more promoting. Especially what we do, the fantasy football we spoke about. Who's starting for you, by the way, T. Smitty? Quarterback.
The one league I'm in, I'm still deciding between either Luck or Foles. I always kind of make my pick like right before kickoff, like an hour or so before kickoff. I might go with Luck this week, though.
Luck, the defense is a lot better than Nick Foles, I bet you that.
Exactly.
Hey, can I say this real quick? When you guys look at the NFL, be wary of those big lines because the NFL is the king of the backdoor cover when you're up big.
Yeah, yeah because they start
last week.
They start playing. Man, listen, I told people earlier, you know, and it's the NFL in general, but every NFL game is a play or two anyway. I don't think Denver is better than the Colts by that much. And it had nothing to do with Wes Welker being out. I just think that's a matchup issue. But, yeah, there are no big lines this week. I think the largest line is New Orleans giving Cleveland 6.5 points. New Orleans is not that impressive. Green Bay being motivated to beat the Jets by 8.5 points. The Jets, I think, have too much defense. And Green Bay tends to struggle with athletic and mobile quarterbacks. So I would be – again, the NFL is concerned, and Denver giving Kansas City 12.5 points is absolutely ridiculous.
Vegas, baby.
Well, Vegas knows what's going on. They always have, and they always will. Hey, listen, people, as always, in part, hey, listen, I appreciate everybody for coming in. We'll see y'all again next week. Sometimes it's not about right or wrong. More important, it's about clarity. But you never reach resolution if you're not willing to engage in honest dialogue, even if that dialogue is with yourself. Take time to hug the person you love and love the person you hug. On behalf of my man, Mike Vaughn, I'm Greg.
Yeah.
Doss, saying peace. We're out of here.
Bye.